Blog Talk Radio.
Every day of my life, I get a new blessing. Well, the Lord sends new blessings my way, and He does it over and over and over again. Come on, y'all. Talking about the Lord now.
fun. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they say that Christians don't have fun. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He keep on blessing us, people of God. We thank and praise our God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. For waking us up in our right mind with the activity of our limbs. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray this morning. Amen. Glory to God. God has a word for us today. Amen. Let us pray. I just want to say welcome all of you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, God. We thank you. Hallelujah, God, for your sovereignty, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just come and we just bless your holy name, Father God. We give you all the glory, God. We thank you, Jesus, for waking us up. Yes, we do, Lord Jesus. Now, God, I ask, Lord God, that you will have your way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do my Shanda, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Move by your mighty power, God. Let me decrease and let the power of God increase in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, yay, Messiah, yes, Holy Ghost, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that only comes from you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Fill me, fill my mouth with your word, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. Speak to thy people this morning, Lord God. Yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as I step out of the way, let the Holy Spirit take control. We welcome you. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit, this morning. Speak in the name of Jesus. And we bless you, Father. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah, for what you're going to speak to us today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. This is Reign of Glory Revival Ministry. This is Apostle Carolyn McNeil this morning. Amen. Praise God. Coming with the word of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to go into a series, and I pray that you don't miss not one of them. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to go to the book of Revelation this morning. Amen. Glory to his name. We're going to talk about the seven churches. Amen. That's what the Lord has been really dealing with me about, and I just been studying and seeking the Lord's face for his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to start first, amen, with Revelation 1 to get a great understanding, and I'm going to go into the word, and I pray that I can get the whole thing done. Amen. Glory to God. Let us go into the word of God. Revelation 1. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sanctified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. It says, blessed is he who reads those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. There's seven churches that are Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, he says, both your brother and companion in the tribulation of the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos. The word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, he said, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. I want you to write this. And I want you to send it to the seven churches. Jesus is speaking, which are in Asia. I want you to send it to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to his feet and girded about his chest with golden bands. His head and his hair was like white, like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like the flame of fire, his feet were like fine brass, and as it refined in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at my feet, dead, John said. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write, he says, the things which are you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which are you saw are the seven churches. Scripture. We're going to talk to the loveless church. John had a vision. Jesus has a letter and tell John to write. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he, glory to God, hallelujah, the Bible says that he fell down, dead. Glory to God. And Jesus had to touch him and to revive him. So there's a letter to the church of Ephesus. These things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, he said. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. He said, nevertheless, I have this thing against you, though, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. He said, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstands from its place, unless you repent, he said. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Jesus is talking. He who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The city of Ephesus, Ephesians, as we know, and this Ephesus was located on the western shore of Asia Minor. It was a seaport city. A trade coming by the sea came through great cities of Ephesus. The city of Ephesus boasted of its Colosseum and its tributes to the pagan god, in which they worship in the great temple of Diana. Many people made their living as a part of this cult. In the midst of the church, they had, glory to God, they called on them, pagan gods. The temple was considered one of the great wonders of the ancient world. Come on, I want you to follow me, people of God. It was in this setting that Jesus places the baby church. The church had matured through the great ministry of Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila early on. They had laid the groundwork for Paul. Then Paul came and lived with them, teaching them further the doctrine of truth. I want to talk about the doctrine of truth and the true gospel. There were so many conversations through Paul's ministry that it put severe pressure on the economy of the city. The sales of the idols had fallen off. The Holy Spirit was at work in this horrible city, evil city. God was still working. The Holy Spirit was still working. God attested to Paul's ministry by many miraculous events in the city and the church. All this can be found in Acts, the 18th chapter, on through the 20th, if you want to read it. Later, Paul sent Timothy to minister there in his absence. Timothy began instructing this young church to stand firm in the face of evil and fight the good fight of faith. While Paul was in prison, he sent to the church the book of Ephesians. It was while in Ephesus that Timothy received the first and the second Timothy. Finally, they profited from the ministry of the Apostle John. The church had great heritage of godly men and accurate doctrine. When Paul had to leave, we see a loving body expressing their grief over losing their pastor. Don't you know a pastor is very important? In the eyes of God, they're very important. The Bible says in Acts 20, 26 to 38, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. Paul is talking. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. He said, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Oh, come. among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own self will rise men speaking twisted things. And this is what's going on now. They're speaking twisted things, bringing people out of what God spoke from the beginning to draw away the disciples after them. And when he had said these things, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. This is Paul. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. They loved Paul. Paul loved his flock. And the last thing he wanted was to leave them. He wrote them and even sent Timothy because he knew if they were left alone like sheep without a shepherd in that evil satanic city, they would be helpless and open to severe attack. This church heard the word. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, they heard the word by grace. You have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Say, Corobos and the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6 and 10 and 11 says, finally, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Paul writes these words because the city of Ephesus were, there would be many demonic schemes and they needed to be able to defend themselves. But somewhere along the line, something happened. The mighty church began to lose her passion. Her armor was weakening. Her sword had become dull. And she became satisfied with just going through the motion. Paul and the others were dead now. They was gone. They gone. But rather than engaging in battle with Satan and his followers, the church became sidetracked with the idea that simply agreeing with the doctrine and doing the right thing meant it had to a right relationship with the Lord. She had forgotten the word of the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 20 and 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Jesus knew the time had come to write the final letter. About 40 years after Paul's ministry there, Christ sent another word to his beloved church in Ephesus, and doing so, sends us a letter as well. Somebody say, I got a love letter from the Lord. It's called the Bible. What was this church doing right, and what did they need to address? We remember from this reading, glory to God, that Jesus stands in the midst of his churches as John had the vision of the Son of Man in the midst of the lampstand. We also saw that he held the angels of the churches in his right hand. Our Lord is commander in chief over his church. Somebody say, the Lord is commander in chief over his church. Christ's commission to the angels of the church of Ephesus, right? The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. John reminds those in Ephesus who is speaking. It is Christ himself, the word of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And when John uses the title Angel, the Church of Ephesus, this is a strict translation, which means messenger. So he writes to the messenger of the overseer, of the elders of the church. Today we might say to the pastors of the church. This letter was to be hand-delivered to the current pastor of the church of Ephesus. Hold the seven stars in his right hand, the angels. The last chapter explains that the seven stars are, in fact, the seven elders of the church, the pastors of the seven church. Jesus Christ is sovereign over the elders, the pastors, the bishops, and all those are over his church, and he holds them in his hands. How important are the pastors? He holds them in his hands. Jesus Christ, one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, is monitoring the health of his churches. Here we find, he says, I know your works, your toil, and your patience endures, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles or not and found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, he said. So look at all the things that this church was doing right. He said, I know your works. Jesus, the one walking among the churches, the one with the penetrating eyes of fire, knows the truth about every church and about every person. Jesus says, I know that you are faithful in endurance. I know your works, your toil, your patience, your endurance. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. This little flock was sitting right in the midst of, in the middle of a swarm of demons. Paganism were everywhere, and they were still enduring for Christ. They were standing strong against the opposition. This little small church. This church was full of very hard workers and who were busy doing godly things. And he said, I know your works, your toil. Jesus said, I know that you are faithful in doctrine. And you hate the works of the Nicolaitans. Also hate. Can you imagine Jesus saying, I hate the Nicolaitans, praise God, this little smaller church trying to do right in the midst of a satanic place. And this is what's going on in the body of Christ right now. We're in the midst of everything going on around us. Glory to God, but Jesus, somebody said, but Jesus. This church was standing strong in correct doctrine. Their gospel was real gospel. Their belief was orthodox, and they believed in writing of the scriptures. They promoted sound doctrine among members. It meant something to be a member of the Church of Ephesus. When you were the Church of Ephesus, man, you had it going on. My God, I guess, glory to God, glory my son, the Holy Ghost, they would be a church that would have a strong teaching ministry. They knew what they believed and were very solid in theology. If you lived back then, you probably want to go to that church. This would be the church I probably would go to, praise God, and glory to God. But listen, people of God, on the outside, they look like a good church. But Christ looks on the inside of the church. Jesus said to them that they hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who are and who were the Nicolaitans? Word that this group of the of Nicolaitans, a group which Nicholas was the first deacon, found in Acts 6 and 5. Some argue that Nicholas was a false believer who became a heretic. retained influence in the church. This group taught that you could take a little Christianity and a little of the world and mix them together and have a wonderful combination of morality and success. The people would dislike you because you didn't demand too much, and you could still fit in with the world, so you wouldn't miss out on the worldly success. You could be a Christian on Sunday, oh come on Holy Ghost, and a businessman the other day, and find happiness in being part of both worlds. And that's what God says. We have to be careful. Amen. Praise God. They also took the idea of the Christian liberty to a sinful extreme. They probably believed that the word, but added other things to it and didn't allow the truth from the scriptures to change them. And glory to God, the watered down word of God. Jesus says, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Faithful in discipline, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found themselves to be false. The church practiced church discipline. 40 years before Paul had told them, Ephesians 4:27, and give no opportunity to the devil. And they were still faithful in obeying the command. Acts 20:29 says, I know that after my departure, he said. See, Paul already saw what was going to take place. I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own self will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, he said, be alert. These elders, pastors, bishops were faithful in guarding the flock and keeping them safe from fierce wolves, that they would come in and not sparing the flock. And we even get a sense of the effect of John's ministry had on the church. John says in 1:7-11, he says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. He said, watch yourself. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus, so that you may not lose what you have, may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, hey, glory to God, and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and give him any greeting. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. For whosoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. It seems in these areas the churches were obedient. They followed the word. It seemed that these areas the church was obedient. It seemed that the church was very passionate about the truth. However, there was one big problem. Perhaps it loved truth more than it loved Christ. It says, verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Many will say as the cause of this lack of the love for Christ, it may have something to do with the second generation believers. Listen to this. Be careful to listen to this. The second generation believers. Perhaps it had to do with the fact that many who had first heard of Christ through Paul and the others was now dead. Maybe the church did what it always did without knowing why she did it. Maybe they partook of the Lord's Supper every week because that's what they always did without understanding that it is our love for Christ that warrants our participation in the Lord's Supper. Told them that they were doing the right things without the right love for him. Where is the love for Christ? It's like a child who obeys a parent, not out of love, but out of being obedient. Like a church member who tithes every week because it's the right thing to do, rather than out of the love for the Lord. Maybe the church had forgotten while it was to do the right thing. Let me use us here while we're on Reign of Glory Revival Ministry, believe right things and the right things without the proper love for Christ. And we are not what Christ wants from the church. We are letting our light shine before men so they will glorify him, but so we may get the glory. As important as the proper doctrine works are, they themselves are not the end. Christ is the end. We exist for his glory, to do good deeds with the with wrong motives is to be guilty of idolatry, a self-centered hypocrite, as they would call it, does good deeds with a bad heart. When a church like this loves truth more than it loves the Lord, truth has even become an idol. I hope everybody's following me this morning, because we're going to talk about the seven churches. This is the loveless church. It's like worshiping your Bible over Christ, who was revealed in the pages. They would kiss the Bible. Come on, somebody. How they could have all the Holy Ghost. They love the Bible, but how much do we love Christ? He is the end of all things. There are churches that fight over the translation is right, and they reverence the Bible more than they reverence Christ. When our motives is duty rather than privilege, we think of it as it's a duty. It's a privilege. Come on, Holy Spirit. It does not take long for a people to forget. When the next generation comes along, they see the actions of the previous generation, but don't know why they do what they do. Why do we take an offering? Why do we meet on the Lord's Day? Why do we have elders and deacons? If we don't pass on why, with the how, we are robbing our children and generation that follows. Because if you looked at the word, they say Paul was gone. Here come the next generation that threw away the word. The Nicodonians, they just came in and tried to do what they wanted to, but they sheltered that part. But they forgot. They loved the word. They did everything right. They had a good teaching ministry. But they forgot the love of God. So is it not just important to me, but we must also love Christ supremely? Sound doctrine is not enough. It's the same thing that happens over and over with Israel. The Bible says at the time of Joshua's death, we see that the next generation didn't know the Lord. Come on, I want to go there. Judges 2, 6, and 10 says, when Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elder who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years old. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And all of that generation also were gathered to their father. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. What's the remedy for the church that has lost his love for Christ, whether it is the people becoming dull in their love or the whole generation? What is the remedy for you if you lost your first love? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, he said, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. He said, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, he said, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place unless you repent. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Literally, in the origin, keep on remembering. The church as a whole had forgotten his foundation. She had forgotten how the Lord had established her in the city. She had forgotten what her purpose was. She had forgotten how sinful she was and how Christ saved her out of death and hell. The church needed to remember, glory to God, so if, oh my God, if we are to love Christ, return to our first love. We done got people twisting us up in the doctrine. We done got people telling us what to do, and that's just nothing, just like the Nicolaitans came in and told them, praise God, they're going to Bosanda and change what they already believe that the Lord has already written in the Bible. They want to take the pencil and erase it all out, praise God, and do their own thing. Did you forget about doing our own thing? His remedy for us is to remember, specifically remember all he has done for us and how great his forgiveness is. Don't you know that Jesus forgave us? Amen. Praise God. Listen to the account of the woman in Luke Gospel who loved Jesus greatly. Praise God. Yes, that Corobo Senecatu Rabat Santo Holy Ghost. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table, and behold, here comes a woman of the city who was a sinner. She was learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought in an alabaster flask of ointment and standing behind at his feet, weeping. This woman, glory to God, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair and her head and kiss his feet, anointing him with ointment. Praise God. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, come on, Holy Spirit, he would have known who, and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. He said, a certain moneylender who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarius and the other one 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see Carolyn? Do you see all the ones that stand beside? I want to
wants to talk to us this morning. Glory to God. He said, I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she had not ceased to kiss me on my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For the ones that think, praise God, Corobo Santo Holy Ghost, that you have done so much to displease the Lord. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. He said, therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he who said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. If your love for Christ is not what it should be, you must remember and repent, because I've already done it. They needed to acknowledge their sins and then repent. They needed to turn from their evil deeds and return to the Lord. In losing their first love, they had committed the worst sin of all. They had broken the greatest commandment, thus committing the greatest sin. You might think sin is sin. It's all the same. Glory to God. Hadikobo, Son, the Holy Ghost. This church has committed the greatest sin because it was breaking the greatest commandment. The Bible says in Matthew 22 and 36 to 38, teacher, which is the greatest commandments in the law? And he said to him, who shall love the Lord your God with all his heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Jesus commanded repentance. If we are guilty of this, he commands us to repent as well. There is an account in the Gospel of John where Peter repents, and through his repentance, his love for Jesus is highlighted. The Bible says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lamb. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, and I know Peter, you know Peter, praise God, and glory to 100 degree, praise God, to the first, oh, glory to God, where things just topple over. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Beloved, if your love for Christ, my God, is not what it should be, oh, come on, Holy Spirit. Remember all he has done for you. and repent of our sins and loving something or someone else more. Because sometimes we make things our God, loving something else, loving the love of money, the love of a husband, the love of a wife, the love of a car, the love of all the worldly possessions. My God, I give him glory this morning, my God. He said, return and do the works you did at first. Return to your first work. The first works of the early church was characterized by a zealous commitment to the Lord. We was all zealous at one time. Somewhere down the line, we got twisted in the word. We got twisted with people. We went backwards and forwards. But now God said, return. We got weary. We think we're doing a job when we got a privilege. The Bible says in Acts 2, 42 and 47, and they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowshipping, to the breaking of bread and in prayer. That's the church. And it all came upon every soul. The awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They had all things in common. They had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. As any had need. And the day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their home. They received their food with gladness and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This picture is very different from the church that has dead words. Listen, you can believe correctly and not love correctly. Proper doctrine must be accompanied with proper love. Christ's encouragement. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who conquers. I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise of God. This message was meant for the Ephesians, the Ephesus. First then, it was meant for every church to hear and obey. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This message from the Lord is meant to be heard here today. Jesus promised that if we hear and obey, he will bless. He said in the word, Revelation 1 and 3, said, blessed is the one who reads out loud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. What is one of the blessing promised to the one who conquers? I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. John has in mind with this phrase, the one who conquers or overcome means to those who are in Christ. 1 John 5, 4 and 5 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Thousands of years have passed since the tree of life in the Garden of Eden was destroyed. Jesus promised those who were his the tree of life in the heavenly places. Those who overcome will partake from the tree for all eternity. All this takes place because of the sacrifice of Christ, our great high priest. Oh my God, our great high priest who walked in the midst of the churches. Dear churches, let's eat of the tree of life again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're talking today to the loveless church. They had everything going on. All the right words. All the right saying. But John the Revelator was given a word for the churches. The golden lampstands are the seven churches of Asia. The seven stars are the angels. Glory to God. The pastors, the bishops, and glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So when you serve, think about serving. When you tithe, think about tithing. We have taken so much for granted, God says. So he wants to bring back his church. He wants to bring back the glory in the church. The church of Ephesus has become a large, proud church. And Jesus' message was, glory to God, remind them that he is the head of the body of believers, and every church has a guardian angel. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much that we're going to love you back. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Teach us which are the great commandments in the law. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great commandment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The little church in the midst of a crooked world, satanic, everything going on around them. They was trying their best. But what happened? They kind of filtered into the church. Hamasato Robo Santo Holy Ghost. To tell the church, amen, praise God. You can party 6 days. Holy Ghost. God, hallelujah. And then you can come to church on Sunday and look at your best, praise God, like you've been serving God all week. Probably didn't even open up a Bible. My God, I give them glory. So we have to make sure, amen, that we don't allow people to come into our space and twist us up. Because listen, God said to me this week, pray Korobo Santo Holy Ghost, the enemy is very cunning. And that's why he said be watchful, be alert, that we don't allow things to come into our life. He said, I want you to do the first work that you started before. We think that because God called us, praise God, that we are so special. How they call both Son and Holy Ghost. But God still judges us for what we do. We have to do the right thing by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We can't preach one thing and do something else. My God, I give him glory. We can't put blessings out and then curses later, praise God. That is not the will of God. We got to fix our mouth. We got to fix our line. Praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost. God don't mind us doing, glory to God, other things, but we have to be careful of what filtered in. Praise God. We are his people. We belong to him. We are his royal priesthood. We belong to him. We are his priests. We belong to him. My God, I give him glory. This little church sitting in a mist, storefront. Hallelujah. And here comes the Nickelodeon, how they call both signed the Holy Ghost, the one that was way on, glory to God, back in Acts, coming to filter into the church and tell the church, I don't go, I need you to, they want me to compromise. I can do this, this, and this. I can do this and this and this. But that's not what God says. God don't want a compromising church. He want a loving church. He want us to love him back the same way he love us. We are, glory to God, God's people, praise God, ha my santa. This is the first one that I'm doing, glory to God. This is the church of Ephesus. This is the loveless church, amen, praise God, hallelujah. Next week, I'll be back with you because God says, I want you to bring back my church
on this line. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't come to preach to the most. My son, the Holy Ghost. God wanted you to hear this word and hear it clearly. We cannot take a pencil and erase what we want to erase. Come on, Holy Spirit. We got to make sure, glory to God, let us do our first work again. Let us go back to the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go to the persecuted church on next week. Amen. Join me again as we go down to the seven churches and see what the Lord Jesus wants us to know in this time, in this season. Well, listen, people of God, God has already blessed us. All we got to do is make the crooked places straight. Live right for the Lord. Do right for the Lord. That glory to God. Hallelujah. You have a privilege of serving the Lord. Hallelujah. You have a privilege of giving back to the Lord. We have a privilege. God, you know the thing about people, praise God, yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, God has blessed us, and we can't give him back what belongs to him. Hallelujah. He don't need nothing from us, but let us do the right thing, people of God. He said, glory to God, I bless you, and you can't give me back 10th of what you have. Come on, people of God. All these things are in the word of God. This is what God is talking about. The Nicodemus came in and tainted the word of God. Let us not do that. Let us read the word. Let us take in what we have. Praise God. Don't let nobody, glory to God, twist up what God has already put in you. Hallelujah. Let us walk this walk with grace. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is Reign of Glory. Revival Ministry. Apostle Carolyn McNeil. Our Sunday service, amen, praise God. Let us bless the Lord, even glory to God, with our praise, amen. Thank you, Lord, for coming back and talking to us. Thank you, Lord, for putting us back on track. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you're the head over us. Thank you, Lord, that I don't look at your word and kiss the word but not love you, or love the thing that you're doing for me and not love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. With that being said, amen, praise God. Let us bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give God the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. On Thursday, true Vine International Ministry will be on. Glory to God. I'll call the lady pastor. She might kill me. Amen. Pastor Inona Waters will be on, praise God, on Thursday, 6 p.m. Join her. Word has been excellent. Amen. I thank you, Pastor Inona Waters, for standing instead and preaching the word of God. Amen. Sound doctrine. That's what we're talking about. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank all our supporters for the ministry. Thank you. Praise God for the ones. Amen. Our tithers. Amen. Praise God. Thank you because you keep us going. Amen. We bless and praise our God for all of you. And I pray blessings be upon you as we continue to sow in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sow everywhere. We go to Walmart. We do everything, but we won't do nothing for God. Let us do something for God this year. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. With that being said, let me pray. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Father, for sending a love letter to us today. We thank you for the word that came forward on today. I ask that you continue to bless them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that you will move by your mighty power, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. If where healing needs to take place, God, I pray for healing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you for touching us right now from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, Father. I pray for the harvest. I pray for your harvest, God, to come in the name of Jesus. Bless every church that's represented, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. I thank you for the movement of your spirit. I thank you, Father, for everything, great and small, These things I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving in my heart and my soul says amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll leave you with a song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I feel a special anointing in this place. The glory fills this place. Could you just, for just a moment, with the fruit of your lips, just begin to thank God? Come on, in your own words, if he's been good to you. If it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be here tonight, but he's been good to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I dare you to just give him the praise. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You got to tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on,